So the Mishnah is at the beginning of the ninth perek of Brachos. Haroa makom shenasa bo nisim liYisrael Omer Baruch Sha'asa nisim laavoseinu b'makom hazeh. And the Mishnah enumerates a whole bunch of places. If you encounter any of those places, then you recite this bracha. We're opening up with an insight of the Brisker Rav. I heard this in a slightly different version from my Rebbe in the name of Reb Chaim, that there are two categories here in the Mishnah. We should be very careful about distinguishing one from the other. One category is called a Birchas HaGomel, and perhaps a classic Birchas HaGomel would be the Arba Tzrichim Lahodos. So I experienced a personal salvation. I was saved from one of the four categories. So I recite this bracha, Birchas HaGomel. And that's a hodah on Kabbalas Tova, because I was the direct benefit from this salvation. There's another category, which is a Birchas HaShevach. And that Birchas HaShevach is on Gvuros V'Niflos, on God's might, His power over the universe. Like, for example, Osam Aisa Bracious, you see thunder, you see lightning, Kocho Gvuros V'Ole Olam. These brachos are Birchas HaRiyah, when I see this great wonder, and I give Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not Hodah. It's not that I'm thanking Hashem. This is not a matter of expressing my gratitude, but rather expressing the glory and the greatness of God, His Gvura and His Niflos. And to sharpen our appreciation of the distinction between these two categories, he mentions a Gemara in Masechta Pesachim, and the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim says,
"Add a little blip there."
Yeah.
So you're saying the second one, Birchas HaShevach, was expressions of Hashem's greatness. Go ahead. Sorry, that's where we left off.
So the pasuk says, Halluas Hashem kol goyim, and then it says, Ki gavar leinu chazdo. So there's a resha and a seifa. So the Gemara says the following, Halluas Hashem kol goyim, Maya vidite, meaning, what are the goyim? Why are the goyim saying hallel? And the answer is because of the gvuros and niflos. So Rashi there in Pesachim says, "Lamaluhu legoyim lahallel on nisim shenasu liYisrael." The Gemara's kasha was, Why are the goyim responsible to recite hallel? Because gavra aleinu chazdo. So the Gemara explains that there are two distinct parts to this pasuk. The goyim are reciting hallel b'torah shevach. They don't directly benefit from these gvuros v'niflos. But nevertheless, those gvuros and niflos, which are miracles that defy the natural law, they obligate even the goyim to recite Shevach Vodoya, because they're coming in close counter, their encounter with the gvuros and the niflos of Hashem. Then the Gemara says that v'kolshkein anan, how much more so do we have to bless Hashem? The gavra aleinu chazdo. And that's a whole different category. Gavrolenu Chazdo means we were the direct recipients of the benefits of the Gvuras Hashem. Our chiyuv is not just the chiyuv Shevach, not just to praise God, wow, God is so mighty, He's so powerful, He controls the world, the Gvuras of Hashem, but Lahodos, we upgraded to a new level called Hodoya Al Kabbalas HaChesed. Ki Gavar Olenu Chazdo. Olenu means for us, we are the recipients of God's Chesed. Now, what we want to do is take a look at the Mishnah. And we can categorize the Mishnah into these two classifications. Haroa Makom Shenasebo Nisim LiYisrael. That's number one. Baruch Shasa Nisim. That's a Birchas Hodah. Why? Because we are direct beneficiaries or heirs to that great miracle, God's miracle in saving our ancestors, makes it possible for us to live. So we are the beneficiaries. And then there's another bracha, which we call Birchas HaRoeh, which is on the Gvuros and the Niflos. So when we encounter a place where a miracle happened to save our forefathers, that generates a Chiyuv Hodah. And then there are various experiences and sights that we see of Re'iyah, of great Gvuros and Niflos of Hashem. And that generates a Chiyuv Shevach, Shevach, Shevach V'Halel. And based on this, perhaps we can answer the Kasha of the Pnei Yoshua.
You can't say that they overlap, bro.
Again, in the case of Hodah, they certainly overlap. Meaning, if I'm the beneficiary, then in addition to seeing the mighty miracle of God in which He changes nature, which is a Birchas HaShevach, or Osa Maisa Bracious, or whatever it might be, there's another element of Hodah because I am the beneficiary. But if I'm not the beneficiary, then I may have a Chiyuv Shevach for the fantastic, you know, the lightning and the earthquakes and whatever I see, to see God's hand in nature or His control over nature. That's only Shevach, but I don't have an additional Brichas Hodah, like the Gemara and Pesachim that we saw before, making the distinction between the Goyim, who are not beneficiaries, their Chiyuv is Chiyuv Shevach, Hallelujah Hashem called Goyim. But we have a chiyuv on top of Shevach, not to the exclusion of Shevach, of Hodah. The Pnei Yoshua was wondering about the sequence in our Mishnah. He says, Tfei Havilei Lakdume, he thinks, this is his question on the Mishnah, that it would be more logical for the Mishnah to begin with a bracha on Maisa Bracious. Why? Because Maisa Bracious really goes back to the creation itself. Why does the Mishnah begin with the historical miracles that took place during the course of history in places where our ancestors experienced the miracle? You know, there was the miracle of saving us from this nation and that nation, all the different things that we're going to learn about here in this parak. And the Mishnah begins with Baruch Shasa Nisim Lavel Seinu B'Makom Hazeh. That's not historical. Because if we're going in chronological order, says the Pnei Yoshua, we should begin with Maisa Bracious. Just give me 1 second. I just wanted to finish the sentence. But the answer could be that the Mishnah wants to start with the Birchas Hodah. In addition to the Birchas Re'iyah, which is the Birchas HaShevach on God's creations, we're going to add a new element, another additional dimension, which is called the Birchas Hodah. And that relates to the historical miracles in which the people of Israel were spared, were saved by this miracle. And therefore the Mishnah wanted to begin in that order, Before we get to the brachos that are a re'ias nature, you know, in God's mighty power through nature, which is Shevach, let's talk about a more all-encompassing, far-reaching chiyuv, which is gratitude to Hashem, hodah, for having spared us during those critical moments in history when the Jewish nation and its future was at stake. Yeah, Joe, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, but I don't mean to interrupt the rabbi. Just with regards to the brachas of creation, I mean, isn't there the problem that how often are you going to be able to make those, considering, you know, like every day you see creation. Okay, the mission talks about the yam and the hairs and that kind of stuff, but really that's not necessarily something that you're going to. Right, you can't make a brach every day on these things. That's not the concept that we're understanding.
Yeah, but again, there's nothing here in the Mishnah that I know of that is a daily brach. I mean, there are daily brachas, but they're not here in this Mishnah. We're talking about encountering a very unique kind of experience, whether it's a natural phenomenon, which is very indicative of some supernatural phenomenon, or it's a place where God did a miracle for the Jewish people. That's also very rare. You know, you're not going to come across. I don't have. I'm sorry. I apologize. I couldn't schlep all my Gemaras today, so I don't have the Mishnah in front of me. But you'll list, if you don't mind, if you have the Mishnah in front of you, you can list all these places that are rare where you can encounter and remind yourself of a miracle that took place in the history of the Jewish people. Nachal Arnon, if I remember correct. Is there a Mishnah there about Nachal Arnon? I don't have it in front of me.
Yes.
I mean, when was the last time you visited Nachal Arnon? You know what I'm saying? So that's my point. So in terms of frequency, I don't think that's going to give you a clue as to what the Seder HaBrachos is in the Mishnah. So, hey, Joe, are we on the same wavelength? In other words,
yeah.
None of these brachas are common, are part of our daily life. They're all very unusual. But in terms of the Seder, there's a more basic chiyuv, because what happens if I don't recognize a certain super duper natural phenomenon? Okay, so I missed an opportunity to recite a bracha. That's not a good thing. But imagine if I experience a miracle like the Arba'at Tzrichim Lahodos, Birchas HaGomel, and I fail to make that bracha. I'm an ingrate. It's not just that I missed an opportunity, you know. So the hodah that we said is derived from this pasuk, the Gavra Aleinu Chasdo, is a much more all-encompassing fundamental obligation than a bracha on seeing thunder or lightning or even an earthquake or the Yamagadol. Those are all nice opportunities to thank Hashem for creating the world and perhaps even dominating the world, but it's not as fundamental as a bracha that I have to thank Hashem because of what He did for me or what He did for my ancestors so that I can exist today. And we're going to see this with an afkemina in the Ravid Shita. Now, when we get to the Ravid Shita, there's a whole bilbul here about exactly what the Ravid said. There's a Ravid that's quoted by the Rashba. There's a Ravid in his commentary on the Rif. There's a Ravid that's quoted in another Sefer called the Sefer Ma'oros. So there's a great deal of scholarship here that has to be worked through exactly what the Ravid said. Well, we're gonna analyze one particular approach to the Ravid by sort of putting all the pieces together. The Rashba quotes the Ravid as saying that if you encounter a place where our forefathers were spared through a miracle, on the first time that you're there, you have a chova, an obligation to recite that bracha. Mikan v'elech, from then on, if you see that place a second time, a third time, it's a reshus. Now, what that word reshus means is very complicated. Does it mean it's voluntary, you could decide? Does it mean you should leave out Shemu Malchus? There are various nuances and opinions about what reshus means in this context. But what's important to know is that there's a difference between the first time and the second time, etc. And then, if you look at the Raven on the Rif, he seems to go even a step further, and he says that even the first time is only reshus, even the Pam Rishona. Again, as I said, there are many discrepancies here in the Raven, but we're going to try to sort of put it all together. The Raven quoted in another Sefer that you'll see in the paragraph that starts Ulam, he says that on the first Ria, that's a Chiyuv Hodah. That's the language of the Ravid as quoted again in the Sefer HaMa'oros. And afterwards, it's a different level. It's not that Chiyuv Hodah. You've already expressed your gratitude for that particular miracle at that particular spot, that location. And after that, it becomes something which you might make a bracha on, you might not make a bracha on. It's in a different category. So let's see one particular way of learning the Ravid. I'm not telling you that this is the only way of learning the Ravid. He says the following. The Ravid is distinguishing between the first time and the others, very much in line of what Reb Chaim was saying. The first time, it's a Birchas Hodah. And the Ravid would obligate us to recite the Bracha Barashas Anisim with Shemu Malchus. That's an absolute Chovah. That Bracha is similar to Birchas HaGomel, which is a Bracha that we're obligated to recite, and with Shemu Malchus. However, after he's already made that bracha, if he encounters that place a second time, according to the Ravid, then it's not a Birchas Hodah anymore. It becomes like a bracha on the Gvuros and Niflos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning, every time I get to that place, I remind myself of the great miracle which God expressed and manifested His control and His dominion over the forces of nature. That's what we call a Birchas Haria. And when the Ravid says that the brachas in our Mishnah are only reshus, what he means is that when you experience some sort of natural phenomenon, or you remind yourself of a natural phenomenon that's unnatural, if you follow what I mean, that's absolutely bombastic, that took place in that same location, then the ball is in your court. You're going to make a decision. Well, I guess in Canada you'd say the hockey puck is in your court, I don't know. But you're going to make the decision as to whether or not you're going to make the bracha. And the Ravid says if it's a bracha where you make the decision, then you don't recite Shemu Malchus. Now let me just point out to you that there are other Rishonim who claim that if either they have a different formulation of the Ravid or they have their own opinion against the Ravid, that these brachos, with regard to Maisa Bracious, are a reshus, but if you opt for making the bracha, then you recite it B'Shemu Malchus. So whereas the Ravid would say that Osa Maisa Bracious, we would omit Shemu Malchus, that's what the Ravid means by Rishus, according to this particular version in the Ravid. Other Rishonim, maybe we'll get to them today, they hold that it is a Rishus, you'll decide whether or not you'll make the Bracha, but if you do decide to make the Bracha, then you recite it as a full-fledged Bracha with Shemu Malchus. Now, what does it mean you'll decide whether you want to make the bracha? That's a very strange kind of halacha. I'm going to take a little break now from the Gvuras Yitzchak, and I want to share with you the insights of the Taz. That's it. If you want to make a note of it, this is in Or HaChaim Siman Reish Yud Tes. The Taz paskens the following. If you yourself experience a salvation, one of the four categories, right? You went on a trip, that's called Yorodei Hayam, and after quarantining you on the way back, they found that you don't, you know, you tested negative for coronavirus. Okay. Anyway, so you went on a trip. So you have to bench Gomel. That's Yorodei Hayam. However, what if your best friend, I mean, that's not the Taz's language, your best friend experienced the salvation? So the Taz writes the following. It depends. He says, Eino yochel levarech, this sounds like Yisro, right? Eino yochel levarech birchas ha-gomel b'shemu malchus al atzolas chavero. It's the language of the Taz. Elim kein somach belibo. Aval im eino somach belibo kol kach. Ela shemavarech mishum shalom v'derech eretz bi'alma. In other words, if I'm a good buddy of yours and you invite me to a sudos hodoya because you got out of jail or you got out of the hospital, then I'm going to be mevarech because of kavod abrios, because of derech eretz and ava. I do it because I want to show you that I identify with your salvation. And he says, in such a case, you're not someach belibo. And like it, sometimes if it's your best friend, I guess we call it like in a wedding, the best man, right? So I have a friend from childhood, and I'm very, very close with him. When he experiences the salvation, it's almost like I experience the salvation. That's called someach belibo. Then he can make the bracha b'shemu malchus. But if he's only on a madrega of, let me show my friend how much I identify with him, that I'm thanking Hashem for his salvation, because that's Derech Eretz. He calls it Shalom, out of peace, Darkei Shalom. Then he says that if he recites the Shem Umalchus, then he's a Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola. That's a very heavy accusation. So we're very careful, as you know, about brachos. We don't just stop make brachos. And the reason for it is because every bracha is potentially a violation of Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatola. Says the Taz, that if you don't feel the simcha, if it's not a profound sense of rejoicement, then it would be Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatola. Make the bracha without Shem Umalchus. Now this is fascinating, by the way, this Taz, because of something else we're going to learn in this Mishnah today. And that is Hiskinu Shei Adam Shoel Bishlom Chaver Bishem. And this we derive from Boaz. Now Rashi tells us that there's a real serious issue over here. It's not just, oh, you know what, I want to say to you greetings with God's name. You know, Hashem Imachem. But it's more than that. It's an issue of, as Rashi says here in our Mishnah, of Hotzah Shem Shemayim Levatola. Why? Because what's motivating you to mention the name of Hashem? It's the kavod that you want to give to your friend. You want to tell him that God is with you, right? So what motivates you is not really glory for the name of God, but rather you're motivated because of kvod chavercha, right? Kvod abrios. So Rashi says the chiddush here in our Mishnah is that lo amrinon, we're not going to say it's mezalzel bekvodo shel makom bishvil kvod abrios lahotzi shem shemayim alav. It's not going to be a violation of the Shem Hashem, because This is the will of God. God wants you, as we're going to learn from Boaz, to mention his name within the framework of a greeting. And Rashi goes on to add, in the next Rashi, Rashi says that Eis lasos l'Hashem eferus arsech is one of the psukim the Gemara is going to quote. And Rashi says that there are certain times in which you mevatel, you know, you mevatel your Torah study for the sake of teaching Torah to others on a lower level, or for example, in order to do chesed for a person. You know, to, let's say a rabbi, for example, right? A rabbi has to, well, I shouldn't talk to you about a rabbi, but if you had a rabbi in theory, right, the rabbi has to take off from his learning for the sake of chesed. So Rashi says that's called Eis Lasos Lashem. Lashem meaning you're doing it for the glory of God, because that's his will. Hey, Ferus Arasecha, you give up on your Talmud Torah. So Rashi says the same thing applies in the case of greeting your friend, that it's God's will that you greet your friend, even by mentioning the name of God. Therefore, it's Heferus Arsech, it's not considered a violation of Hotzah Shem Hashem. Now, Rashi doesn't require that when I greet you, I feel a tremendous sense of simcha. You know, the Taz says that in order to make a bracha and mention Hashem's Hashem, I have to have that profound sense of identification with my friend and joy. Otherwise, the Taz is going to accuse you of motzi shem shemayel vatola. Rashi says that kavod abrios is enough to allow you to mention shem Hashem. Now, I'm not sure if there's a machlokas here between Rashi and the Taz. Again, at first glance, the Taz and Rashi are saying two different things. The Taz is saying that unless you feel this profound sense of joy, you're a motzi shem shemayel vatola, because you're only doing it, why? Because he invited you to his Sudas Hodoya. I mean, I'm just adding that. He's mevarech mishum derech eretz v'shalom. So that doesn't allow you to mention Hashem's name. Rashi says, I can greet another person for the sake of kavod abrios, and Rashi says I can mention the name of Hashem. And that's exactly what we derive from Boaz. But it could... Yeah, go ahead.
If you're doing this Birshus Hashem to say hello to the person, to give him shalom, why do we have a problem doing that in the morning before we greet Hashem?
So that...
Don't say shalom aleichem.
That's because of what we call the Seder Ayom. Meaning, we have a certain Seder Ayom in terms of how we behave. How do we behave towards Hashem? And then how do we behave towards our fellow human being? So we have Kvod Hashem, and then we have, it's a whole sequence. Like, for example, the Rambam has Mea Brachos. Are you familiar with the Rambam? I think it's the seventh parak of Hilchos Tefillah. And the Rambam has a definite order in the Mea Brachos. Here too, with regard to my greetings to a person, those greetings are something that's Ratzon Hashem, but it has to come within a certain sequence. First, I have to give homage to Hashem. But again, just if I can ask you to focus your attention for a moment on the Taz and Rashi, because this fascinates my mind. What does it take to allow me to say Shem Hashem and it's not Levat Tola? Is it A, Kavod Abrios? Or is it B, a profound sense of Simcha? The Taz says that if I were to bench Gomel for you, for your salvation, it depends. If I'm doing it else covered, then it's motzi shem shemayel vatola. If on the other hand I do it as a sense of the profound simcha, then I'm obligated to make the bracha with the shem Hashem. Okay, I took a break there because I knew that I didn't get to settings yet. We'll figure out the settings. And Rashi says that the reason why I greet you with Hashem's name is because of Kavod Abrios. and it's not considered Shem Hashem. And that we have to derive from a pasuk, because I don't know what the Ratzon Hashem is. Does Hashem want me to mention his name in the context of a greeting, or does he not? We have to learn that from Boaz and so forth and so on. Once we've derived from Boaz that I say the Shem Hashem, the Rashi says that because I'm doing it for Kavod HaBrios, it's no longer Motzi Shem Shemayim Ulatolah. The Taz, on the other hand, says in benching Gomel, if I do so because of Kavod HaBrios, he calls it Derech Eretz, then it's Motzi Shem Shemayim Ulatolah. But I was thinking, if you're with me for a moment, that there's no stira here, and we can make shalom, since we're talking about shalom today, make shalom between Rashi and the Taz. It's possible, again, I'm just throwing out a svara, that the Taz is talking about a bracha. Rashi's not talking about a bracha. The laws of Motzi Shem Shemayim become that much more severe within the context of a bracha. If I can give you a bishvil, it's almost like a bracha, it's like a shvua. And if you take a shvua b'shem Hashem, you might be violating a very serious isur if you're not careful about the parameters of doing so. The same thing applies to a bracha. So we have a bracha with Shemu Malchus, and on the contrary, once we have a bracha with Shemu Malchus, we have to worry about an entity called a bracha of Atola, which is an isur chamur of Shem Hashem L'Shav Lo Tisa. If we're talking about a greeting, right, people mention God's name all the time. Again, I'm not saying it's always right. I think instead of saying, oh, G-O-D, they should say, oh, gosh, or something. I mean, people say all sorts of things. Some of it comes from other religions. But anyway, but it's not as severe as someone who takes a bracha, and it's an improper bracha. But why am I got off a little bit on a tangent here. My point, if we can get back on track, is this Reb Chaim about there are two categories of brachos. And we're trying to use Reb Chaim's categorization to understand the Ravid. The Ravid is saying that if I'm thanking Hashem for the miracles that transpired back in the day, historically, to save my ancestors, then I have a direct benefit from those miracles. And I should be reciting a bracha b'shem u'malchus, and we suggested that maybe according to Reb Chaim, that's why the Mishnah opens up with makom shenasu bo nisim liyisrael, rather than the natural miracles of thunder and lightning and the great seas and the storms and the rains and so forth and so on. But says the Ravid, that's only the first time. After the first time, you want to make a bracha without Shem U'Malchus. Then the Rebbe goes on to say, in all the other brachos, leave out Shem U'Malchus. They're all Birchas Haria B'Torah Rishus. And again, according to this interpretation, not everyone agrees with this, the word Rishus here means without Shem U'Malchus, which means that you have a suffix of Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatolah. Leave out Hashem's name. The Taz would say, well, you know what? It all depends. What profound impact does this experience have on you? The Ravid is saying that in the case of Birchas Hodah, and what does Hodah mean? We are beneficiaries of God's miracle. Then the first time you encounter that place, you're chayv in Hodah. You would be a chutzpin yak and an ingrate if you didn't make the bracha, like the case of Birchas Hagomel. So the Ravid's equation between Birchas Hodah, b'makom shenasa nes lavosenu, and then the Gemara is going to have a kolsh game with Yochid if I come across a place where I experience the salvation. That's gratitude, and that's fundamental. That's hodah. That requires that's an absolute chova, and it requires Shem U'Malchus. Then the second time I encounter that place, that already drops down to a different level. That's not already gratitude. I've already expressed my gratitude for that miracle. Now it becomes like all the other miracles where I make the bracha on the miracle itself, on the natural, or shall I say, supernatural event. And that, according to the Ravid, is only a reshus, because it doesn't have the element of hodah, it's a birchas hashevach. But we see clearly in the Ravid that there's a fundamental distinction between Birchas Hodah and Birchas Shevach. So if you take a look on the next page, if you happen to have the next page, you'll see he says that the status of a Birchas Hodah is that much greater than Bracha Maisa Breishis, which is a Re'iyah of Niflos and Gvuras Hashem. And in that latter case, which is Gvuras Hashem, it's not a Chova, it's only Rishus. But the Bracha that's first on the list in our Mishnah, which is Sha'asa Nisim Lavosenu, then it's a Birchas Hodah on the first round, and that becomes a Chova. Once I paid my dues as a Hodah and a gratitude, now I'm left with the Birchas HaShevach, which according to the Ravid is only a Rishus. Now again, I don't want anyone walking out of here and telling and saying Rabbi Berzon told me that all these Brachas are Rishus. That's not my point. My only point is to understand the Ravid Shita. And I think the context in which the Gvuras Yitzchak is presenting the Ravid Shita in terms of Reb Chaim's Chiluk, I think is very telling. It's very revealing. And the Ravid is separating between these two categories. The Birchas Hodah, which is absolute Chovah B'Pam Rishona, and then the Birchas Shevach for the Nisim and the Gvuros and the Flaos of Hashem. That's already a Rishus according to the Ravid. Now the next discussion is about a makom shenekra mimenu avodah zara. But before we get to that, I would like to share with you an expanded version of what I mentioned to you before in a very short version, and that is Mea Brachas B'chol Yom. So I don't know if you have access to the Rambam Hilchas Tefillah, but if you don't, let me read to you something very interesting in the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah. The Rambam says the following, Perek Zayin Halacha Yudal, Chayav Adam Levarech Mea Brachos Bein Bayom Ubein Balayla Umahei Mea Brachos Elu. This is so fascinating. The Rambam is going to map out for us the daily recitation of Mea Brachos. So in the beginning of this perek, he lists the daily brachos that we recite, what we call Birchas HaShachar, plus a whole long list of other brachos that we recite on a daily basis. The Rambam now tells us that if you calculate all those brachos that you recite on a daily basis, you'll come up with the number 23. So I'm going to get out a pen and paper here. 23. Then the Rambam says, Birchas Kriyat Shema is 7 brachos. Right? So we have 4 in the morning and 3 at night. Okay? So we add 7. Then the Rambam says, Kishem is atev betzitzis, mevarech is atev betzitzis. Kshalov is tefillin, mevarech laniach tefillin. Right, the Rambam only has 1 brach on tefillin. So that's 2. So we're up to, if I'm not mistaken, 32. Then the Rambam says, Shalosh tefillos, ubechal tefillah, shmon esrei brachos. Right, so that's 18... 18 times 3 is 54, am I correct? Did I get that right? 3 times 18 is 54? Yeah, 54. So let's add 54 to 32 is 6, is 8, is 86. Now, the Rambam says, Shu ochel shtei sudos, shel yom v'shel laila, Mivarech Arbasrei Brachos. Well, let's just work this out for a second. So let's say there's 1 bracha. Oh, there's Al Netilas Yadayim. Then there's Birchas Hapas. So we have 2. And then we have 4 brachos. Afterwards is 6. Is 2 sudos is 12. Wait a minute. How does he get 14?
Yayin?
Maybe he's making brachan yayin. So that's 14. Oh, is 14 and 86?
Yeah.
is 100. So the Rav Zichron Levracha, I just wanted to share this with you.
Nobody's going to the bathroom here?
Oh, excellent question. We have a whole bunch of questions on this Rambam. The first question that we ask on this Rambam is, why does the Rambam feel compelled to take me by the hand and show me through this maze of how I achieve 100 brachos? Secondly, the Rambam says that I'm eating 2 seudos. Okay, I don't want to eat 2 seudos. I don't know about you gentlemen, but I very rarely wash during the course of a day. I don't know, everybody's different, but... So what am I going to do if I'm not eating a seudah? Okay, so I'm minus 7 brachos. I'll find other brachos and make up the difference. I'm not an imbecile. You know, I understand that. If you're a Sfaradi, you know, you'll probably carry around your hadassah with you. Whatever it is. You go to the bathroom, this, that, and the other thing. And then, to make life even more fascinating, the Rambam says, "B'shabosos v'yomim tovim, shatfila sheva brachos." So that means you're missing. Did I have this 11 times 2, right? 11 times 3. He says, "Lo nischayev b'shara yomim b'chol abrachos." There are other occasions, says the Rambam, where you might not be making all the brachos. Kigon shelo yoshen kol alayla. He stayed up the whole night. Now the Rambam sheet in Brichas HaShachar is that if and when you reach X, you know, then you make the bracha. Or lo hiter chagoro. So ozi so begvura is something that you recite according to the Rambam if you put on your belt. But if you don't wear a gartel, so you don't make that bracha according to the Rambam. So the Rambam tells you the following. Tzorech lahashli mea brachos min aperos. Ketzad. Yeah, again, he's like a bubby here. You know, let me take you through this. Ochel mat yerek, mevarach lefon of liachrov. So that gives him another 2 brachos. Ochomat pri, I guess you can't be yotze bar pri eitz on a bar pri adama. Mevarach lefon of yachrov, and he goes on until you have mea brach. So again, you know, the Rambam just has to give me all these guidelines. This is so atypical of the Rambam. So the Rav says the following: that what the Rambam is interested is in creating a seder hayom. And if you're not eating a Suda, then the Seder Hayom is Yerokos and Peros. But that's also part of the Seder Hayom. There's a Seder Hayom of Mea Brachos. And what that means is that any Bracha that's rare, let's say for example, Kriyas HaTorah. So we read the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbos and so forth, on Yontif. That's not going to be included in the Mea Brachos. Why? Because those are generated by Zman. You know, they're time-bound Brachos, so to speak. So the Chiddush of the Rambam is that the Chiyuv of Mea Brachos is not just, you know, calculate Mea Brachos haphazardly, you just hodgepodge, you know, put together all these brachos. You know, I'm going to go out to the sea and make a bracha on the sea. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Seder Hayom. And the Yom is made up of Laila and Yom. So the Rav says the following. I'll read to you his language. He says that Rak Elu Hapa'ulos Mekayim Odom Eschiyuv Levorech Mea Brachos B'chol Yom. So for example, the Rambam has the mitzvah of tzitzis, the Rambam has the mitzvah of tefillin, because the Rambam considers those mitzvos to be part of the kiyum of Seder Ayom. But the Rambam is going to omit other mitzvahs. For example, the Rambam doesn't tell you that on Chanukah you're going to add the brachas of Ner Chanukah, or on Sukkah the brachas of Yeshiva Sukkah. Those mitzvahs are mizman l'zman. They're not included in the Mei Brachos, because it's not included in Seder Ayom. So we need mitzvos kvuos, and they are included in the Seder Ayom. And therefore, the Rambam doesn't count Kriyas HaTorah, Haftorah, Kiddush. None of these are included in the Mei Brachos. So if I have Seuda or a substitute for Seuda, then I can count them as part of Mei Brachos. So the Rambam, for example, has Birchas HaShachar included in the Mei Brachos. Why? Because that's part of the Nusach of Tefillah on a daily basis. Here's the Lashon HaRambam in Perek Zayin. The Rambam says, Kishetiknu Chachamim Divrei Tefillos Elu Tiknu Brachos Acheres Levarach Osam Bechol Yom. Yeah, the Rambam goes out of his way to say Bechol Yom, to tell you that these Brachos, what we call Birchas HaShachar, are part of the Tefillah. They're part of, the Rambam says, part of Divrei HaTefillos Bechol Yom, and it's part of Seder HaYom. And this is fascinating because, you know, the Rambam is famous for his shita that tefillah is doraisa, as opposed to the Ramban who says tefillah is derabbanan. And if that be the case, for example, you have, let's say, Birchas HaShachar, if the Rambam is putting it as part of tefillah, and tefillah is doraisa, then Birchas HaShachar is kind of an adjunct to a doraisa. It might be what we call a chiyuv derabbana with a kiyum doraisa, because the Rambam is saying that these brachos of Birchas HaShachar are part of tefillah. So what you're doing is you're thanking Hashem, expressing your gratitude for the basic needs of a human being on a daily basis. That's part of tefillah, because tefillah, says the Rambam, is made up of number one, Shevach, number two, Bakasha, number three, Hodah. So that these brachos are brachos of Hodah that are part of tefillah, says the Rambam. And if you leave out these brachos, the Rambam would say you didn't fulfill your mitzvah of tefillah, Bishle Musa, because the Rambam says that this is an extension of tefillah. So tefillah is made up of not just the 18 brachos, but also the other brachos in which we express our hodah. So if we come back full swing to what we started with today, and the reason why the Mishnah here in the last perek of Perek HaRoah begins with the brach of Shas HaNisim is because that's a birchas hodah, and the Ravid says that a birchas hodah is an absolute chiv on the first occasion. That birchas hodah, although again the Rambam would not include it in the Seder Ayom, but nevertheless it has the same status as the brachas of Seder Ayom, because the brachas of Seder Ayom are an expression of gratitude for the basics of life. I thought that was fascinating. I don't know, to me this was like an eye-opener.
Who's this from?
This is from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. Tremendous chiddush. Again, you'll go through the Rambam.
Said this in the Rambam,
and he wanted to say this in the Rambam. He doesn't have anybody else who says it, and I don't think anybody says it. And, you know, the Sfaradim, as I mentioned before, will take a hadas, you know, to make up in the Mei Brachos. The Rav is saying, and of course the Sfaradim are all based on the Rambam, but the Rav is saying that he. This is Berzon talking, not the Rav, but the Rav is saying to the Sfaradim, it's very nice that you make your brach on Hadassim, but that's not a basic need that generates a daily Birchas Hodah, and it's not included in the framework of the Seder Ayom or the Seder HaTefillah, and that would not be a fulfillment of Mei Brachos. Like, for example, Joe, you asked about Asher Yotzar. So, can Pishin finif manur, you know, finif mal, you had to tug, you know, I'm going to the bathroom like it's going out of style. Some people go during the day, other people go not only during the day, they're machmer and they go in the middle of the night. So I can rack up so many brachas every time. No, the Rambam is saying that there's a bracha of Asher Yotzar once in the morning, and that's part of the Seder Ayom, and that's it. You know, the rest you're obligated to make brachas, but It's not part of the Mayor Brothers. Fascinating. Now, by the way, the Rambam has an Igeres. I wish I knew where to find it. I mean, I'm digging back into my youth. And in that Igeres, he wrote, you know, the Rambam was a doctor, I don't have to tell you that. So he wrote to somebody, and he writes, oh, you eat two meals a day? And he says, but I only eat one meal a day. Now, I don't know, I found that a little strange, because the Rambam is telling us in the Seder Hayom that there are two sudas a day. Okay, I don't know. You know, I'm sure that would be an interesting topic for the scientists, you know, for the Talmudic, what do I call them, like the Bar Ilan type of people, you know what I mean? Okay, anyway, so what time is it now? Oh, okay, I see it's a little late. Makom shenekra mimenu avodah zorah, omer baruch sha'akar avodah zorah me'artzenu. Nira di eno chayv levarach brachas birchas hari'iyah el k'shara makom shenekar al yidei nes. Sha'oz tzorech l'shabeach al ze bebirchas hari'iyah. Avon lo nekar al yidei nes lo shayach levarach al ze birchas hari'iyah. So when we talk about Mokum Shenekra, but Mimeno Vodazor, it's Tafkal Yudei Nes. Then we're Chayiv in a Brach. Tzorch Iyun, I'm Chayiv Levarech Gam Bircha Soda, Milvad Bircha Sara'iyah. Ve'afil B'kai Gavne Shlo Nekar Al Yudei Nes, Tzorch Levarech Al Kol Ponim Bircha Soda, Al Zeh Shenekar Avodazor, O Di Eino Shaykh Levarech Bircha Soda, El B'Shvil Kabbalah Tova, V'lo al zeh shenekar avodah zorah me'artzenu. So is there a chiyuv birchas hodah? As we discussed before, that there's birchas re'iyah and there's birchas hodah. Is there a birchas hodah on akiras avodah zorah, even if it wasn't the derech nes? V'hine b'chanukah mevarchim birchas hodah al nes shel hadlakas haneros. Afagav the Eino B'Shvil Kabbalas Tova. So it's hard to classify the Ness of the Ner in the Migdash as Kabbalas Tova. But he says that the Maral in Shabbos says, Lo Matzinu Birchas Hoda Al Zeh Shenase Ness Shenuchal Lavod Hashem. If there was a miracle that enhanced our ability to serve Hashem, would that be a machayev? Would that generate a chiyuv of birchas hodah? We don't find that. Ulam inema dahach bracha shenekra avodah zorah me'artzenu avi birchas hodah gam kein arei matzidu shebevarchim birchas hodah shel zeh shenekra avodah zorah me'artzenu afagav shelo havi b'shvil kabbalas tova. But right, maybe it would enhance our avodas Hashem. So we're not sure if a nes for Avodas Hashem is considered a machayev of Birchas Hodah. Now the Pnei Yoshua asked the Kasha, as we mentioned earlier, why did the Tana begin with the Birchas Haroah of Makom Shenasa Nisim Lavosenu rather than begin with the Brachos of Ma'aseh Bereishis, the Kadim Bizman Tuva? And the answer we suggested was that the Bracha on Ma'aseh Bereishis is not a birchas hodoya, but rather a birchas haroa, al gvuras Hashem. But shasa nisim lavosenu, that's a birchas hodoya al tovas Hashem. Lachen tonale bereisha. Ve'inik mochen yesh lahakshos my time atona habrach al mokum shenekru menu avodizor kodum hani brachos al maise bereishis the kodmu bizman tuva. Venir mized hach brachal akiris avodazari gam kein birchas hoda milvad havi birchas hari'iyah. So it's not just because this experience reminds us of the great miracle of Hashem, but it's also because of hoda that now we can serve Hashem. We got rid of the avodazari from Eretz Yisrael. Mishum hachi tane hach bracha al akiris avodazari mikodem hanach brachos al maisa bracious. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Aroa Sayam Agodol Omer Baruch Shasa Sayam Agodol Bizman Shiro'eu Leprakim. Tosus quotes the Yushalmi that Leprakim means every 30 days. And Konal Hanach Birchas to Re'iyah Shmiyah B'mishnah Dafka K'sharoa B'shloshim Ad Shloshim Yom. However, the Ravid seems to indicate that even if he sees it again and again within 30 days, he makes a bracha. So the Ravid Shita is that we distinguish between things that are kavua and things that are kovea brocha liatzman. In the case of Yamagodol, despite the fact that it's kavua, but there's a separate brocha, and the Ravid holds that you can make that brocha over and over again, even within a 30-day period. But the other brochos, let's say it the other way around, just to make it more clear. In the case of Yamagodol, which is a brocha liatzma, singling out Yamagodol, then you make the bracha only lefrakim, but sharedvarim, which are einam kovim bracha liatzmon, then you can make the bracha over and over again within 30 days. V'tzarchim baroi yamagodol toch shloshim l'das arayvid einam avarach klal odiyaf agav teinam avarach ach bracha b'fnei atzmo v'kovakom logar mishar birchas arayvid avarach osa maisa breishis afilu toch shloshim. So the osa maisa breishis is kind of a generic bracha, which applies no less to Yamagodol than it does to all the other phenomena in nature, and that bracha is generated within 30 days, even in the case of Yamagodol. The specific bracha of Yamagodol, that's only leprakim, that bracha singled out is only outside of 30 days. But as far as the other brachas is concerned, Osem Maisem Brachos, and Yamagodol is not inferior to all those, they you could recite, those brachas you could recite according to the Ravid even within 30 days. V'nira da'atosus or Ravid azli l'tamayu da'atosus over the kol hanach bircha asavian bracha asavian chova b'chol pam sheroa osom shemahoki sov v'shechovas bracha eino ela mishlosh ad shalosh v'arayvid sover te'eino ela rishus v'kevet shen el rishus yochel levarcha afilu tok shloshin. So take, for example, if we understand the Ravid is saying Rishus means without Shem U'Malchus, the Ravid has no compunctions, no inhibitions about reciting this bracha many times over and over again within 30 days. But Tosis is talking about Shem U'Malchus. He's talking about a Birchas Chova, and that Chova is got to be singular, it's got to be somewhat unique, and it, as we said in the name of the Taz, it arouses certain very profound feelings. That should be recited only Lifrakim from 30 days to 30 days. Okay, I think we'll stop here, and Amir Tzchem will pick this up another time.